Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yes.
I have a question.
I am ready.
Reports indicate that the U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team,
yes,
are disrespectful to the anthem, and they don't pay attention to it. About 75% of them look gruff about it and didn't care. And do we have a bunch of head cases on that team?
I think we have a very, awake soccer team, and they're not used to. You know, you got Rapinoe there.
Megan Rapinoe.
Megan's a kind of a team leader, and I don't think she's much for the anthem. So, yeah. I think that what do they want? The
are they grousing about their money still?
They're getting paid pretty good. Yeah. They're getting a lot of money, but
I
they
don't know.
Not bringing in so many. But
they won. They beat Vietnam.
They beat Vietnam. I don't think it was a. I don't think that evened up the rivalry, but anyway, they
Costa bleepin'
they were supposed to win about 8-0, but everybody still treated it. It's again that double standard of men's and women's athletics responses. This is some glorious victory over a bunch of people who probably played soccer for 20 minutes with a funding of $100 against the U.S., but we can't say a disappointing 3-0 victory over a terrible Vietnam team. We got to write about how great and glorious it was. So.
Okay.
But I'm not going to have any problem one way or another with the women's soccer because I will not watch a minute.
Neither will I.
I don't care. I don't care that much about the Men's World Cup, which is played against nations that care about the sport. There's about three countries that give a damn about actually trying to put a good women's team together.
What's that square thing down there?
Right. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody's kneeling or anything.
You know, I think they were actually.
We did have a kneeler.
Let me double check. But
I don't know if we had a kneeler, but they weren't.
They were not properly.
They weren't enthused.
They weren't enthused. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, we got that element out there that gets. You know what? I'm glad they don't turn around and take photos of the press box during the when the anthem is played.
Yeah.
And I'm complaining on how long it's taking. And you know what, though? I miss the equivalent of this Jack Morris's 1-0 shutout of 10 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, the Fulda High School band played the national anthem, and nobody
at the Twins game,
and nobody gave me a heads up.
Really?
And they said they were pretty good too, and I don't know how they got enough people to put a band together because there's about 15 students a class now, 20.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everybody must be handed an instrument. They used to be very strong in music.
Were you in the band?
Oh, God, no. But my brother was made he was the first child of my mother who loved music. She made him take piano lessons.
Oh, boy.
The least likely human being in history to take piano lessons. And then she made him go out for the music in school, too. And he ended up with a flute. He ended up for a year as a baby just because if he was in the marching band,
yeah,
he didn't want to have anything heavy to carry. I don't know. So he had the flute. And my mother came to me with piano lessons. and that. I said, no, we're not doing that.
Not happening.
Well, not happening.
Not going to do that.
I love you, Mom, baby, but it ain't happening. Yeah. So, but no, I was not in it. But that was kind of by mutual consent.
But don't you wish today you could go to somebody's house and sit down and just start tickling the ivory?
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. But the other problem is that they weren't impressed with the voice either, because I remember being in the fourth grade, and when they had the little, they got that little grade school choir, you know.
Yeah.
They just told me to mouth the words.
Right.
You know, so.
I also rejected the piano lessons. Yeah,
oh, really?
And regret it. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to be able to play the piano. But I never caught on.
Yes. Well, my cousin Cecilia, who was... would sometime use our piano before she got her own one, ended up being a great church organist piano player and gave lessons down in St. James. And she was wonderful. And she had to carry the family torch. And my sister was a good pianist.
I'm desperately trying to find the clip of you singing "Old Holy Night" right now.
Well, that's not too very good.
No, it's not. No, we were. I don't know. I think I've kind of gotten more of a bass than I should have been.
Pat, so. The White Sox aren't very good.
Boy, they can figure out how to lose a game. Mm-hmm. They work hard at it.
They're bad in every facet of the game.
Their pitching sometimes is okay.
Bad fielding.
Dylan Cease is a good. I like him. Giolito, I'd take him. But they get a little frustrated, I think, the fact that they only catch about half of them.
Well, we walked in Friday evening. And I had three young men with me, and the first pitch of the series was golfed into the outfield.
Valentina.
And I thought, oh, boy,
that
the Sox.
That was only his second home run of the season.
And Valentina. Then Lance Lynn said, we can't have the Twins losing their series opener. My God, is he awful.
I'd say that was an accomplishment to give up two home runs to a Buck, because I read today on Twitter that take away those two home runs, and our guy Buck is 1-for-38 with 20 strikeouts. He's got a couple of walks in there, too. So way to go, Lance, to give up those two home runs.
Yeah, those were nice.
How about the right fielders? On Friday night, you might have left. This was a little later in the game. When the right fielder fell down.
Yep.
For no apparent reason.
None whatsoever.
Allowed a run to score and put him ahead, right?
I think I saw that.
And then... yesterday, they're in the 10th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Whiteys have scored.
Yep.
And we got a guy on third, and we're going to pop up for the second out, right? And now the guy's going to be standing on third with two outs, and you need a base hit to score him. And the right fielder comes in and finally catches that pop-up, and then he falls down for no apparent reason. He's on his knees. He's down there on the knees. He ends up throwing this looper in, and they score the tying run. And then they end up winning in the next inning, which is the fat little catcher hit into a double play, and it looked like they weren't going to score again in the 12th. And then who got the base hit?
Jeffers.
Jeffers got the base hit to right field to win the game. I don't like the fat little catcher. I don't like him.
Vasquez?
Although he won the game for him on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I don't like him, though. I mean, not as a human.
You know what he is? He's a good framer, though.
I don't mind.
He can frame the ball.
Yeah, the framing.
Who caught yesterday?
Jeffers started it, but then they pinched him.
He caught a ball in his throat.
Yeah, he got it bad, and then he ended up winning the game. But he would have left the game if the other catcher hadn't been used as a pinch hitter for Matt Wallner, who was 2-for-2. But a lefty was pitching, so we send the fat little catcher up there instead.
Who's in town tonight? The Seahawks?
The Seattle Mariners.
Or the Mariners, I mean.
He's got to stop doing that, Rocco. What? He's got to stop pinch hitting for the one at bat in the sixth inning when he...
Yes.
There's more of a game after this, Rocco. Mm-hmm. He keeps doing that with a guy...
This was a little later in the game, but maybe the seventh. But you're then... He was the last position player. They were out of position players, and if Jeffers can't, I guess Vasquez was in the lineup as a DH then or something, so I guess he could have caught him. But I agree with you. He blows the whole roster pinch hitting a lot more than he has to.
Yep.
So anyway, they could be a little steamy there Wednesday afternoon.
Ooh.
That yard can get a little hot.
And are they off Thursday?
They're off here Thursday.
Because Thursday's supposed to be the
The baddie.
The real one.
And then they, they're off Thursday, and then they go to Kansas City, where it'll be
usually
toasty.
Warm.
Toasty, but you don't have to worry about getting surrounded by a lot of people, I wouldn't think, down there.
You'll have your own section.
The Royals are well on their way to losing 120 games.
You know, when you think, we're constantly given this hysteria about how hot it is, and I started thinking about covering baseball when I covered it for 10 years. I remember some hot days in New York and Chicago, Baltimore
was the worst.
Are you kidding me? It was steamy and hot.
I've told the story about I'm covering a doubleheader in Baltimore, and then I am supposed to get on a plane, and this is when you could change your tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on a plane and fly to Oakland for the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. So we're in there last Sunday. And it was so hot.
Oh, how was it?
I talked my way onto the Twins were chartering home for one of the few times. I talked my way onto the Twins charter so I could fly home Sunday night and shower because I couldn't stand it. It was so damn hot there, and it was a doubleheader that day, too.
And that's in Oakland.
No, this was in Baltimore.
Oh, in Baltimore. And
I was supposed
to
go coast to coast to that night at 9 o'clock or something.
Yeah. I have a travel question, and I've never covered a team, but why couldn't you shower when you got to your hotel in Oakland?
Because it was being extra several hours.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I couldn't stand it.
And you caught a flight to Oakland the next day.
Next morning, yeah. You could get there in time for all the stuff they were doing at the All-Star game. I think that was the 1-0 All-Star game that went 15 innings or went for hours.
Mm-hmm.
My son Chris came out with me. We went to the game. He had to sit in the stands for like 2 days waiting for that game to end. Then we stayed around and I went to my only game ever at Candlestick Park.
Oh.
Baseball game.
I was never there.
God, it was cold. Yeah. You'd heard all the legend about how bad it could get in there in July. It was amazing. It was stuff blowing. There were big cardboard boxes blowing around and down in the corridor there's stuff flying all over. It's unbelievable.
Well, Horace Stoneham tells the great story about there being shown this point of land
on
a gorgeous, calm day.
Yeah.
And he said, they didn't tell us what summer was like.
No, they didn't. Well, that's the famous Chubb Feeney story. Chubb was his guy, that built the stadium. And Chubb always went out there in the morning and they were building it and thought, God, this is wonderful. Isn't it great? He went out there one day at 2 in the afternoon and the scaffolding, the guys are hanging onto the scaffolding and stuff's blown. He says, what's going on here? They said, that's the hawk. It happens every afternoon at this time of day. What a weather phenomenon, though. It's on that point.
Think of guys our age. That was their ballpark.
Oh, God, yeah.
To follow the Giants.
Oh, yeah. They played about 3 years in Seal Stadium while they were building that one. Yeah, that was there. And Knight, Willie Mays had this unbelievable career playing in the worst
weather in baseball.
Wind.
Was it you telling me, because I was relaying this information to my baseball nut 11-year-old son, how many more home runs would Willie have hit had he not played at the Polo Grounds?
Polo Grounds was huge and left. No, down the line it was.
Before they moved to.
Down the line it was shallow, but left center and.
But wasn't
right
you
center.
Telling me he would have hit about, I don't know, 50,
well,
60
I think
more?
Candlestick is where I was telling you, because the wind, they had hundreds. He'd hit the ball to right field, but if the wind was blowing in from the bay, you couldn't get it.
Because during the Derby, we were going through the all-time home run leaders in baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those guys who refuses to acknowledge Barry. I said, Henry Aaron's still the home run
I think Willie had a couple of years in the reserves, too, where he had to miss some.
I didn't know that.
When he was, all those guys, that they weren't World War II guys, but they were Korean War guys. So they, some of them didn't get to play full schedules. They had to take their 2 weeks. Rodney had to take his, remember that? Rodney had to take his 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Keep him out of Vietnam.
Okay.
We had the Star Tribune commenters are, every newspaper is the same, but the Star Tribune commenters are in a class by themselves. And
That's not a compliment, ladies and gentlemen.
We're no longer running comments that I can find
online.
That's
a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. We had some guy, what was it? I can't remember what I wrote. It was something about baseball in the 70s. And this guy in the maybe late 60s, 70s, and this guy had this incredible scream about how they screed, how they were just a bunch of draft dodgers and didn't have to go to Vietnam, and, you know, and it's just a little bitterness left over here, pal. Wow. I mean, none of us wanted to go. None of us.
Baseball in the 60s was really a strange time. I want to rewatch the Ken Burns baseball documentary on the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could have been further from the culture of the United States at that time than baseball. It was the summer of love and the hippies and the anti-war, and here's baseball just plodding along like it always was.
Sure.
Yeah, with Calvin and 19 other like-minded people who, you know, America, love it. That wasn't love it or leave it, though. Was that love it or leave it? Was that when love it or leave it
might
started?
Might have been.
Yeah. Yeah, when push came to shove, the American, the number of people who were still supporting the Vietnam War at the end was not very high. So
no.
It kind of changed.
All right, Brian Harmon.
Hey.
What a worthy winner, I thought.
What a putter. Oof, made some putts, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made those two bogeys, and then he hit the one in the gorse.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought he was going to make 50, and he hit a great shot. And after that, he just made putts.
Why did he get challenged by that idiot on the course, I wonder, who said, "You don't have the stones for this." Did you read that story?
Oh, I didn't know.
Somebody yelled out at him, "You don't have the stones for this, Harmon." And
what
he
time?
Said that buoyed him.
What time of day?
Late in the round.
Yeah. Okay. That's funny because it doesn't happen in Britain. But,
you would
but
say
I
not.
Did hear a few shouts.
Yeah.
Of,
That's my new favorite course on the Roto.
Did you like
it? I love that place. That looked like the most charming little place I've ever seen.
And it's that part of England that goes up around Scotland, right? It's north of Scotland.
It's north and west.
Yeah, it's up. It's on the water. Just
you
like
see whales across the bay.
So it's on the North Sea?
Is it Irish Sea.
Irish Sea, okay, all right. So, okay, all right. I was looking at the map, but I couldn't figure out
home of the Beatles. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, but it wasn't in Liverpool. It was in Holyoke.
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 That's right, but isn't Holyoke a suburb of Liverpool?
I don't know. A lot of these places, you know, were named after the rich people who ended up assembling at that. That's where they played their summer golf.
Mm-hmm.
It was not necessarily the Liverpool, but I would. It maybe it is a suburb. I don't know where Liverpool is. To be honest,
I was pleasantly surprised that we weren't shown the picture of Penny Lane very often. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure we'd see that once a day. We mm-hmm. didn't see that.
How about what I enjoyed is how they react to driving rain.
Just keep playing.
And they play. I thought the Nance had a very good line when he's talking about the caddies under the umbrella. He says, that guy has an entire pro shop in that bag to keep dry, try to keep everything dry.
Well, it's the same as in Scotland. If you don't play in the rain, you won't play.
No, that's true. Well, you know, the year that Muirfield, 2002, that's what waylaid Tiger because he got caught out in the storm. That cloud, Chris, was a beautiful bluebird morning, but the forecast was bad on Saturday. And the Firth of Forth is out there, big body of water, you know. And this cloud appears over that, and it looked like that screen. It was as black as that screen, only huge. And you were saying,
uh-oh.
I was out on the golf course and said, I think I'll go back in and watch this on TV. And about 2 seconds after I got in there, it came down. It was, the weather
was
wilted.
Never even any consideration to pausing, was there?
No. And the other part of it is the rain is so unreliable and dispersed and broken up that at parts of the golf course, it was a drizzle. And the other parts, it was just this driving rain. It was, it's not a consistent consistent thing. But
all right, so there you have it. Mom's defending the guy.
Wasn't that the...
When oh, you were it was Muirfield.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's
adjust yourself. You had to turn it in circles.
Yeah. Every day. I did that like 2-3 days in a row, didn't I? And right. It broke up every time. It would break
what
up.
Was the phone bill for that?
I have no idea.
That was, we weren't paying it.
No. But I can't remember what kind of cell phones we had then. It was a little flipper, obviously.
Well, it was only, what, 02?
Yeah, it was 02, so it was
oh,
a flipper.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I didn't even know we had flippers in 02.
Well, because we had, what were the ones that first came out that all the companies were using?
Oh, the, was it the telecom? Is that what it was called?
Blackberries or something?
I no, Blackberry was advanced. That was no, probably.
Then, some other thing, but we had those, but I couldn't take that one to Scotland. And, well, Joe and I had plenty of these experiences when I was out on the road, and we did 2-hour shows with me in a hotel room trying to
get back to Harmon. No one had him on their radar, but he's had a hell of a career.
Well, plus he was in the wasn't he in contention at the U.S. Open?
Yeah,
for a while?
Yeah, but he's made an amazing number of top 10 finishes.
Yes, because he can putt, unlike. The curly-haired Scotsman,
and that course,
Irishman, I mean.
That course didn't need you to hit it 350
oh,
yards.
Oh God, no! Just don't hit it. And you know what they did a fine job of, all the leaders. Nobody got in those pots.
Oh, I saw a few in there.
Not too many of them.
Kneeling on one leg outside it, the other leg inside it.
Of course, I had to regale my wife in the time that I was in one of those pots
miracle.
And knocked it in the hole.
Miracle.
And she had no appreciation
the
for
Scottish
what,
miracle.
What this meant. She said, look at those holes. I said, yeah, well, I know how to get out of them.
Yeah.
Smack it into the wall and have it pop up in the air.
And then right in the hole.
I love that golf course, Dunbar, man,
oh,
right
yeah.
out on the sea. You
yeah.
walk right out of the sea, and then you come back.
Oh,
but then, but... That I think that, I don't know how they built this new course, you know, this course, Renaissance, but the Berwick's up there, the other, they're those 9 holes out of town, 9
yeah.
holes back.
And after school, the course is crowded with kids walking home.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
dogs and frisbees.
School, it is, yeah, it is an amazing place. But we've had two rather... nondescript major winners in a row, though. Wyndham Clark and then this guy. It's not, we don't have the dominant player. And Justin Thomas's struggles have him playing up here this week because they did the one favor to Hollis and the other tournament that's next week. They reduced the number of people going to the FedEx Cup from 125 to 70.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was 125, nobody had to show up and play and get points. But Justin Thomas actually needs points to make the top 70.
Is he trying to make the FedEx Cup or the Ryder Cup?
FedEx Cup.
Yeah, I know. Was he trying to make the playoffs?
Yeah, he's 75th right now.
But he also is trying to make the Ryder
well,
Cup, isn't he?
Certainly, yeah. And I don't think he's...
Now, you got to put Harmon on the club, don't you?
The way he's played lately, maybe. I don't know.
Well, how do you not know. Put the British Open winner on the Ryder Cup team for the U.S.? Where are they playing? They're playing
Rome.
In Italy?
Rome.
We're doing this again?
Playing in Rome.
We did that. We did that last week.
No, we got her figured out.
Is Mrs. Harmon any relation to former Pirates outfielder Andy Van Slyke? Kelly Van Slyke is her name. I was going to ask you guys about that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I don't
He's
know.
He's a Georgia Bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a lot about him. He's little. He's about 5'7".
He's 36.
36.
He's been at it a while.
And he's a lefty with the longest waggle except for maybe Cantley. The
great.
Longest pre-shot
More than
routine.
Sergio?
Sergio got over that.
Great great player, Georgia, at the University of Georgia. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, it's...
Or will he take the live money now that he's...
I doubt
no,
that he would
live
know.
The live money, they the new deal, they can't move. They can't come and recruit.
He got
oh, they
$3
can't.
Million for this victory.
They can't come and recruit.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. You can't read them anymore.
I see.
I guess maybe if somebody... somebody wants to switch, I suppose.
Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka were miserable failures.
Yep. Dustin got the bad attitude because he shot like 82.
Whatever happened to Bubba? Bubba went live, right?
Yeah, Bubba was.
Why wasn't he in the British Open? Or was he?
I would think his major exemption still exists. I don't know. When's the last time he won a major? He won two Masters. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's playing this weekend, Patrick?
For us?
Yeah.
Here? Not a lot of them. Justin Thomas, by far the big name.
Is the defending champ coming back? Tony Finau?
Tony Finau's there. Tony's coming back. Yeah. Tony's a player. Tony plays.
Bubba's last win was the 2014 Masters.
So he played then.
Won that in 2012 and finished second at the PGA in 2010.
Yeah, he can't. He's not worth a damn anymore. It's an odd game. They got this kid, though, that I wrote a little about Sunday, the kid from Blaine, who won the Caleb Van Aargen, who is going to be a fifth-year senior at Valparaiso, Blaine kid. He won the state open at Oak Ridge by 9 strokes.
Oof.
And then he shot 193 at Minneapolis. He was 23 under par, and he won the state amateur by 12 strokes
last week.
So he just, I talked to him.
Is he in college?
Yeah.
Where?
Valparaiso.
Valparaiso, okay.
Yeah, and he's going back there. He doesn't have these visions of grandeur, but.
Is that a big golf school? I didn't know that.
Not really, but he was a good high school player here, but he didn't have any, they weren't fighting to get him.
Okay.
But Hollis got him in the tournament. I called up Hollis last week. I said, are you going to get this kid an exemption? He said, I used him up already, but they must have figured out a way to get him in there. Nice kid. So I only talked to him on the phone, so I don't know. But he was 23 under and 16 or 17 under. So he was like 40 under at those two golf courses.
Are you going to be on the grounds all 4 days?
No, 3 days? I'm going to be there tomorrow, and then I'm going to be there Friday, and then I'm going to be there Sunday.
Okay.
She's going to be steamy for that tournament.
Yes, it is. But Saturday looks like the only day that you better look out for rain and delays and stuff. So, but I got a hunch. I'm going to be tent boy. I don't walk too good anymore. And that golf course, there's no short walk.
No.
You know, if you want to go someplace. So now, how's she looking there?
Radar has shown this rain to have already gone through the Twin Cities, but I can't tell because this radar has been...
Was Friday night when we got the half-hour delay?
It's still raining, according to my phone.
That was Saturday.
Saturday night, we got the half-hour delay, and as a man who lives 4 minutes from the target field, it was Bluebird. I said, what the hell are they doing? Apparently, there was a thunderstorm down in Bloomington, and they decided, just in case it decided to go north, which it didn't, they were going,
let's go, Mets.
Don't believe your weather, man. Just play. Look at the sky and say...
Don't believe your weather, man.
Look at the sky. Let's go.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't forget, Joe.
What?
Guess what we're doing today?
I don't.
We are adding to the Royce list.
We are?
Yes. Patrick, over the weekend, issued the following. I hate the term sweeper.
A sweeper. I do not like the sweeper.
How is it used?
Here we go.
We had the slider, right?
Yeah.
But we now have a slider that... breaks a little more,
side to side.
So the official baseball wieners, analytical wieners.
Sweeper.
Now we got to have the sweeper.
No.
So I love Corey Provis, but he's great. He throws us. We got sweepers. We got this constant sweepers.
And putting the barrel.
But the sweeper. We got to. Was that a slider? Was that a sweeper? Let's get the geometry out here and figure it out. And they came after me because I said the board weenies decided to add the sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oh, they got after Patrick.
They're sending big thing. The gyro on it is different than the other stuff. And, you know, you got a big slider and a little slider. We don't need sweeper. You're going to end up, I do not like sweeper, but I did just set them off this morning.
Oh, yeah,
morning,
you did. Yes, you did. Yes.
I'm not backing off, though. No, I'm anti-sweeper.
I tend to agree with you. That's mm-hmm. You nailed it. That is based purely out of boredom.
Yes, and...
Well, who came up with it?
Some weenie.
The MLB statistical people decided, and some guy said...
Wieners.
We've heard from pitchers, and when we were putting in a slider, it was not actually a slider. It broke more, and they were actually sweepers with a different gyro rating. So we're doing this for the pitchers. So whatever the hell they're talking about, I still, you know, it's like, you know, you got your big curveball, and you got your little curveball, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got the big, you got
the 12 to 6.
You got the tight spin
well,
one.
Well, you can have a sweeping
tight
curveball.
Tight spin one. You know, well, that's the sweeper is sort of a, I don't know. But why do we need two different sliders? You know, you could have the big slider mm-hmm. and the little slider.
The first time I heard it.
The little slider or the bigger slider?
The first time I heard it was a Sonny Gray start for the Twins, and it was a national crew doing the game. So I don't remember who they were playing, but that's the first time I heard sweeper. I went, what the hell's a sweeper? Mm-hmm. What did I miss? I didn't get the memo.
So this came up because when I told the story about my start in Wyndham as a high school junior, mm-hmm. when I had to relieve myself, mm-hmm. I got bombed by the. They almost, there's a river, the Des Moines River goes by. They damn near hit two in the river. It's about 100 yards out there. And then I went out, and then Charlie Bright came in, and he couldn't throw any strikes. And then Steinhorst came in, and he couldn't throw any strikes. So I had to make the long, humiliating walk from third base back to the mound, you know.
He's back!
To pitch. And the. Wyndham,
how
fellas.
Could you relieve yourself?
Oh, yeah. It happens.
Yeah, I had to come back in because I could throw strikes, which they would knock the living crap out of. But they were across the plate. And the taunting was merciless, which was, of course, allowed. It was encouraged back then.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, 60 years ago. Yes, you know.
He's
it
back.
Was, it was merciless. Well, I said today, I know what my problem was. I threw too many sweepers.
Yes. Too many sweepers.
Yeah, they were hitting my sweeper. I should have written to something else.
To piggyback on that, Joe wants to create his own list. You have the stuff of things you don't like. Yeah. Joe wants to start a list of things he can no longer write.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We're up to eights, threes.
Threes.
There was something else we added to that, though, last week. What was it?
Oh,
Q.
Threes.
I can't make a Q.
Can't make a
now,
Q
can't
anymore.
Can't make a Q anymore?
No, I can't make an eight, a Q, or a three.
I gotta ask you a question.
All right.
How are you when they say, sign this with your finger?
I don't like that.
I might as well put my elbow on it.
Right, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I get a J out, and the rest of it's a straight line.
I like that. Why are they having us do that?
You know who would not approve? Harmon. That's not a good autograph.
No, Harmon would be, come on, Harmon, move it along here, will you, buddy? Harmon, Goody, great. I got a couple of autographs.
I have
Harmon.
One, too, and it is a fantastic signature.
Signature, yes. Took pride in that.
Somewhere I have DiMaggio, and that was a good
was that
writing.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
On a baseball?
On a piece of paper.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that?
Sid and I were walking into the ballpark.
Sid and Joe were like this, right?
During, an All-Star game at White Sox Park back in the day. And DiMaggio was there, and Sid hailed him, and of course, Joe trotted over to talk to him. And mm-hmm. long as I was standing there like a dork, I said, can I please have your autograph?
You know.
That's frowned upon nowadays.
Yeah. It is amazing, the people that guy knew in the 50s and 60s that generation.
Yeah.
DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and he were like this.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know he was. I knew Williams, but I didn't know DiMaggio.
Well, because he
was it George?
Because they knew they were never going to be hurt.
No, this was hell. This was before George.
But I bet is that how he established the relationship with George?
No, not with DiMaggio. He knew DiMaggio from going to the World Series in 1955 because he's a guy that had burst up to you and tell you that. You know, he had no governor as far as approaching people.
Sure. So
they all knew Sid.
And, well, Prince is a great story.
Yeah, Prince. Hey,
tell Prince I want to talk to.
Hey, Prince.
Prince. Prince.
Hello, Mr. Hartman.
Hello, Mr. Hartman.
It is
That's
amazing.
One of my favorites.
It is amazing. The people he knew are just, I mean, John Rowe, Bo Schembechler, biggest jackass in American history, you know. Yeah. Just a terrible guy. And John Rowe goes, the first time he goes there with Sid to go to Michigan, he says, yeah, can I talk to Bo? Sid goes up to the office, blows right by the secretary, right. And goes in and sits down with Bo,
right.
You know.
Same with Bobby Knight.
Yeah. Bobby was, you know, he was really tight with Bobby, so.
What year did you think that All-Star game was, Joe?
Oh, 78.
And it was at the White Sox stadium?
Well, name me when the White Comiskey. Sox had an All-Star game.
White Sox had it in 83 at Comiskey.
Yeah, that was the one. You might have went to that.
Might have been 83.
That was the one the American League finally won after losing hundreds of them in a row.
God, you're right. They won 5-3.
No. Not that one.
Okay.
They had another one in Comiskey. They had one with they scored a bunch of runs.
Okay.
It had to be 83.
Could have been earlier.
My column had not yet been taken away from me.
That's when you and Sid were still survivable, even though you tried to. Once the dome was built, did he let up on you or not?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But that was.
But his superiors didn't
let up on me. Okay. So that was...
Oh, man, it had to be earlier than 83.
Yeah, it was earlier.
All right.
Looking.
Well, here, I'll go. 83 was at
back in
Comiskey.
The 70s. Freddie Lynn.
So 82, Montreal. Okay, 81, Cleveland.
Sometime in the mid-70s.
80, Dodger Stadium. Kingdom in 79. San Diego in 78. Yankee Stadium in 77.
Veterans
Stadium, 76. County Stadium, 75.
It had to be 83 then.
Yeah.
74, Three Rivers Stadium.
But it was only 5-3. Are you sure?
I think I'm reading
the. It was 13-5.
I think I'm reading this wrong.
Yes, I remember they.
Because this is the Wikipedia page.
American League beat them up after losing 10 in a row or something.
Candlestick in 84, and then the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in 85.
Yep. Oh, what a game!
When we tried to get Dylan to sing the anthem.
Yes, we did. We should have had him. We should have. We were tight with him when we followed him out to his car. So. All right, what the hey. Let's go here, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.
All right. This is Ricey, and you've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I recommend that you give Josh a call is simple: trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns, and while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seen in returns. Yep, that is more common than you would like to think in the investment business. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad you did, and don't forget to ask him why it is 48 minutes.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments have involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.